Turn up your speakers, turn up your speakers. Everybody get ready as we discuss life, love, religion, relationships, and so much more. And now, it's your man, Vincent Ellis White. That's right, of the Vincent Ellis White Show, coming to you live from the studios of iShoutForJoy.com.
All right, you're tuned in live to the Vincent Ellis White Show with my co-host, Ms. Charvette Mitchell. We are in the building broadcasting live from my Shout for Joy studios. Shout out to everybody following us on Twitter, Facebook, the whole nine. Got my girl Charvette in here. How you doing?
I am awesome. I'm telling you what, I'm so excited to be in here with all these dynamic, wonderful men.
You missed us last week.
I know. I missed y'all. I was on somewhere. I was out of town or something. But so missed y'all. And our listeners, they checking y'all out. They're like, the Men Confess segment is off the chain. So we are excited again to be here from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, heard all across the World Wide Web on iShoutForJoy.com.
No doubt. And I got a slew of people in here today. Jesus, Titan Studio, y'all. Now, last time he was on here, he was Minister-elect George Dale. But he is just straight-up Minister George Dale. Dale, how you doing, brother?
What's going on? I'm doing good.
Doing good. I got my man, brother, Manifest, Mr. Happily Natural Dale. It's going on next week, by the way. He'll speak more about that later. Deron Chasis.
Hey, peace and blessings, everybody. Glad to be here with my brother, Vincent White. It's a beautiful thing.
No doubt. My man Sweets is always in the building. Mr. Controversial.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. All right, y'all. Men Confess will be a complete hour today. A lot of people have been asking about it, so we'll go ahead and stretch it out for y'all. A whole hour today. I want to thank everybody that's been tuning in. People been hitting Charvette up, hitting me up on Twitter, sending them questions on Facebook.
Yes.
So we're going to try to, you know, spread it out for y'all and go through some diverse questions. And we're going to go in. We got all different types of men. We got some married folk in here, single, dating. They got children. They don't. We're going in. All right. So, and we doing questions straight from the listeners today, I believe. So, I'm going to start off with a question that's been, you know, a complex question for a while, complex situation for some for a while. It's basically, this is for those that have children or have dated someone that has a child or children, plural. Is it hypocritical for someone who has a child to say or vow that they will or they cannot date someone with a child? So I'm going to say the question again. I'm going to give a little insight, then I'm going to let y'all go in. Is it hypocritical for someone who has a child to say or vow that they will or cannot date someone with a child? And for example, just to break it down, if you did not catch the question, if you have a child yourself, how dare you?
All right.
Or is it hypocritical for you to say that I will not or cannot date someone with the child, or can it, or is it legitimately justifiable? Talk to me, somebody.
I'm gonna jump in the pool first.
All right,
this is Deron. This is Brother Manifest. Just in hearing the question from the onset, I had to transport myself into the shoes of someone who has a child that does not want to be with somebody that has children. And all I can consider is that when you have children already, you know, you have a bevy of issues and situations that you have to juggle, you know. And, you know, you have another parent that you have to cooperate with and co-parent with, which in many situations is often a challenge for you, you know. And in that sense, if you are the one with the children, you may not want to have to take on another person's challenge as into a relationship. So in that sense, I can see why you would be like, nah, I'm not really having that. But at the same time, you know, you can't ask anybody to take your situation if you wouldn't be willing to take theirs. So in that sense, it is kind of hypocritical, but I guess it's more so like, you know, you don't want to go through no stress. You don't want to put nobody else. You don't want to go through you don't want to double the trouble. I guess if that makes sense.
Virtue, double the pleasure.
Anybody want to speak that may not have a kid, but dealt with somebody that has a child, any type of difficulties you dealt with?
Well, so I know a guy that I went out with, and he has like an 8-year-old daughter, and currently he has the custody of his daughter. And he was like, oh, I'm so glad you don't have kids, because, you know, I don't want to date nobody that has kids. And I'm like, you have an 8-year-old daughter. But you got to worry about, she got to schedule babysitters. So his thing was all about scheduling, and he want to be able to get with you whenever, you know, go out whenever he wants to go out, whatever. So it was totally like a scheduling thing. Like, he didn't want to have to deal with like scheduling babysitters and all that. Whereas his mom, he could always send his daughter with his mom. It was like a no brainer for him, and okay. He didn't want to have to add another scheduling thing if the girl had children.
Yeah, sweet. I mean, both of y'all make valid points though, because like with the scheduling conflict. When you meet females with kids, it is very hard to get up because that's their main excuse. Well, I don't have a babysitter, and you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it makes you be like, man, I'm going to fall back when your kids get old enough to watch themselves.
As you get older, though, you kind of got to be like, look, all right. You know, it becomes slimmer and slimmer, you know, the amount of people that are, you know, viable, you know, counterparts.
But then, like Deron was saying, if you have a bad situation with your baby mama, you know what I'm saying, why would you bring, or your child's father, why would you bring somebody else? You meet somebody, you don't know what their situation is with their child's parent. So it's like you got a whole bunch of beefing parents. That's
not easy.
But aren't we throwing all that on the table when we get involved with this person?
No, but because people don't always tell you. People be like, oh, he ain't in the picture.
But that's a good point. You saying like the person off the jump is like, I don't want to deal. I don't want to date anybody. Yeah,
because it's like, how can you get with a person unless they're good at hiding stuff and they're great liars? You cannot possibly be with a person and not know they don't have kids.
Oh, if you're a deadbeat.
Wow. I mean, keeping it real. You need to get some canned applause.
let me share with y'all.
Not to mention lies.
Let me share with y'all a different angle too. Like, for example, you may have been a person that you have a child and you've been dealing with people that have children. You, prior to a certain situation, you may have dealt with them, but you may have a situation. You may be with a girl, have been with a girl. Had a girlfriend, and you accepted their child as yours, their daughter or their son as yours. But once they gave you permission to start disciplining the child, and they said, look, you got full responsibility. The father's not there, or vice versa, you know, the mother's not there, et cetera, but the father's not there. You're stepping in as the father. I'm giving you full responsibility. Discipline them. Do what you do. I trust you. What if the mother says this? And then everything's smooth. You're doing that. But then one day, You discipline them how you normally do it, but it's, you might be a strict parent where they might be a little loose.
Right,
parent,
right.
All of a sudden they flip on you. Hey, that's my child. Look, now they saying it's our child.
Oh,
when it's going good.
What time of the year is that? Is that during tax time?
is that during tax time? Somebody saying in the studio.
Somebody saying it's tax time.
The thing is, right? They wanted you to be. To view the child, you know, when you, man, y'all listen, you know, when you give it a woman that has a child and they really want to make it work with you, they're saying, hey, look, view my child as our child. Mm-hmm. As soon as you do something
that's
they
tricky.
Consider wrong, or you may be, your parents are maybe different in theirs, they say it's my child. Now, if you dealt with somebody that has changed it from our child to my child and it did not work, does that make you, can that be a way that makes it justifiable for that person that got treated that way.
Yeah.
The next time he get in a relationship to say, hey, look, I know I got a child.
Yeah.
But I'm not messing with no woman that has a child because she might do this.
That could be hurt.
But I was gonna say that is valid. But the whole point is that's why there's supposed to be a getting to know process.
But
there is supposed to be. Sometimes some people bypass that, jump straight for this. But there's supposed to be a getting to know process. That when you meet a person, you know automatically if they have children. Yeah. You're supposed to. It shouldn't be a surprise.
Okay.
So when you find out they have kids, it should be, okay, you know what? I really like you, but, you know, because you have kids, you know, I'm just going to step off because I've dealt with the drama, or I don't want to deal with the drama of the baby father, or, you know, the drama of that situation that Vincent had displayed.
But, you know, people have that tendency to, when they meet somebody, if you feeling somebody enough, you'll convince yourself that you can get over it.
Yeah,
you be like, man, you be like, I usually don't date nobody with kids, but,
process, you, know
what I'm saying?
It takes about 6 months to say, we're going to do a 6 month get to know each other,
mm-hmm.
go out to date, court each other. But sometimes that 6 months don't even happen, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just, I'm
zero
feeling
6 months
like,
turn to
yeah,
60
zero.
Days.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself, brother.
I'm Jalo Kareem, and this is my disclaimer.
All right.
<Jalo Kareem. laughs> I think that there was a movie I saw, we all got kids, and it's called Robots.
Okay.
See a need, feel a need. And sometimes people see your need and vice versa, and you try to fill a need. You know, sometimes we clean up everybody else's house without cleaning up our own house. And I think that it's all important in the round, in the scheme of things, all around. And I think that the information that you give should be prescribed or diagnosed for this, for that, for this. But you should never keep information too much, because if the person likes you, they like you. You know, and if you like them that way and they don't know about you, then you must like them that way because they don't know you.
Let me ask you, is it legitimate? Like, you know how, for example, when a...
Hell yeah, it's legitimate.
Look.
No, it's just legitimate.
You know how when a female... When a female, when she get her heart broken, say somebody cheat on her, prior relationship, she go into her next relationship, and she's like off the top ready to write the man off. We know that's not right.
That's because of her friends. It's not because of her, how she feels. Her friends are all single.
No, that's not true.
Who do
you
females
can't just
talk
automatically
to?
Say all her friends are single.
I'm not saying all her friends.
You just said all her friends are single. Rewind the tape.
Well, all her friends.
Rewind the tape.
No, all her friends.
We
meaning
grab
all
the mic,
her friends.
We gotta grab the mic.
That's not her friends.
We gotta grab the mic.
I mean, we can go there. We can deal with it. He's saying all the friends are single.
I disagree
with that.
Let me let y'all know that's listening. He got a cup in his hand. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what's in it. I shout for joy.
Okay, I have a question on this same
go ahead,
line.
Go ahead.
How? Let's assume that the guy will date a girl that has children. We'll move
okay.
past.
Okay.
He won't.
Okay.
How soon is too soon to meet the child?
Oh my goodness.
How much time? How much buffer should you
hold
put
on,
in
let me
it?
Ask
it. He could or could not have a child. We'll
but
just leave
the
it open.
The parent makes the decision. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, is it a guy is dating a woman who has a child?
Okay.
At
okay.
what point is it appropriate for him to meet the child? What is too soon? What? How much buffer do you need to put in this space before you meet the child?
I think you should make sure you like the parent first, because you know.
Okay. And how long does that take?
There's no time limit on when you.
I'm gonna be honest.
I'm gonna be honest.
I've been in a situation. I don't want to meet your kids if I ain't feeling you like that.
Yeah,
because I don't even want to.
How much time? I want to.
I don't
want to
meet your kids.
Helping the women.
No, You can't put a time on. You can't put a time on how long I'm gonna wait before I meet your kids. If I'm feeling you like that, and we really hitting it off. And I got kids, or we like trying to plan an outing, and you got children, and we really vibing like that. All right,
so
maybe 2-3 weeks after we've really been talking, and I really got to know you better. But really, I ain't trying to meet your kids off the jump street. Let me kick it with you for a while. Let me get to know you better.
Let me say something real quick.
I ain't trying to meet your kids off the top.
Let me
because if it don't work out between me and you, then I got these children that I've been interfacing with. That it's like, okay, where did Zoo go? He was a nice guy. He was all vibing and kicking it, and now he disappeared. That's
let me
it.
Say something. So let me say
two
something.
2 or 3 weeks. He acts like that's a long time.
Wait. Now let me let y'all know something. If y'all think back to Life Jennings, I don't know if y'all heard his first CD. He had a song called "She Got Kids."
Yep.
And think right. Now if y'all, I wish y'all could read the lyrics to that song. It's perfect for this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying he was saying that he didn't want to meet the woman's kids right away because he has to feel, like you said, he has to get a true feel of if he's going to be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gave an example, if she has a daughter, he don't, because see, one man can step in and wreck that daughter's whole life.
Yeah.
And he might have one agenda, I'm going to have sex with her, I'm going to, you know, have some companionship for a little while, whatever. But you, that's being selfish.
Yeah.
Right. You got a child involved.
And
yeah. Some of the listeners
that's
to listen.
It.
And that song, She Got Kids, he was like, I'm not trying to meet the kid because what if I come in and I step out or we have an argument and I'm being
right.
selfish, I'm thinking about me and I'm out. But now to wreck this kid's life. On the flip side, he said, if I go all the way in, now when I buy the mommy lunch, I got to think about the kid. When I do something, when I
yeah.
act in life, I can't act on my own. Now I'm acting on behalf of the child, the mother,
mm-hmm.
and me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complex situation
yeah,
for
it.
Y'all jumping into the kids.
And like you said, because it works both ways, because you got people that you feeling the kid more than you feeling their mama. So you'll stay around because you feeling the kid. And you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You get attached to the kid. And
yeah,
you got
yeah.
people, and once you break up with their mama, you still attached to the kid, but you can't, if you and the mama ain't together, you know what I'm
well,
saying?
Well,
you
got some people who also, who get married or get in relationships, and then they have their own biological kid, and then the next thing you know, they separate from the parent, the other parent, and then they have to work with the kid, so... Either way, if you're going to be a big brother, big sister, however it's going to be, I think it takes a village to raise a child.
I agree.
So, in that sense, I think she should actually, she should bring her kids straight to see this guy. Cause
really?
Children,
yeah.
Because
like,
children
day
are
one.
In it. Day one. Children are innocent and they're truthful from the jump. If they see him, they don't like him, they're going to say, I don't like him.
That's on that good note, if they're truthful, then he might can get some insight to the mom. But that's one small aspect. What if the child comes in and say he's a manipulator, the guy's a manipulator, right? He's a wolf, for example. And he know how to charm everybody from the mama to the child. Some child takes a piece of candy and you got to be a little smiling, charming.
And
now,
that can happen.
He does that and the child gets taken by that, gets manipulated by that, and then later on he dips and that child is, you know, say the child is a daughter and grew attached to this man and he dipped in a few months. Now she out here trying to find this daddy and a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Should the child have met him in the beginning?
But
at this
point? That's going to happen regardless to how the situation unfolds, whether or not he's with her. Each person that you introduce into your child's life, whether it's cousins, friends, people out on the street, coworkers, they're taking in, they're absorbing every character that comes in their life, from the school teacher to the street corner drug dealer.
Yes.
And so I think that's a portion of the mother's choice. Like if you're looking for a husband, don't go out and get a boyfriend. You know what I mean? If you're looking for a husband, don't go searching for a boyfriend or fling. Yeah, don't go. Yeah, don't go out looking for.
Let me make sure I'm clear. So the first date, he should meet the child. He just said at the beginning. So the first date, he should meet the child.
The first date.
The first time he sees you, he should be.
That's the first date. Because it ain't your day, it's your day.
But I guess where I'm struggling is the woman who has guys that she dates, she changed guys every 3 months. I know a girl, true story, the little boy could not keep up with the guy's name. You would walk in, he'd be like, hey, Paul, that's not Paul, that's John.
Mm.
I'm not saying he moved in, I'm just saying
hold
dating,
on.
But he was hold always... trying to not slip and say the name, but the child was always a part of all the dates. So he couldn't keep up. He
that's
was calling John.
That's why the mother needs to wait. And when she
right.
what's the impact when they leave his life? What's the impact?
See, it's two different questions. Because the first question on the floor is whether or not the man should meet the kid. Now the question is whether or not the woman should bring the kid to the table. Now this is a mutual decision.
I thought the question was.
For the woman, you know,
I thought the question was how long it should be before
right,
you meet
right.
each other kids.
I
period.
Like a month.
Some people.
I thought
she was saying that. Well, how long should the man wait before he meet the
they
woman?
They were saying like
some people put their feelings on their sleeve, and other people put their feelings in their back pocket. Now, I think that it should be some gestation. I think that there should be some gestation time between the first date so that everybody can get the sensory. And it's not sensory deprivation, or it's not sensory overload, where it's like, yo, her life is not that simple, or her life is not that complex. I think that it's on the parent. But there should be some gestation if you look for the child to think, to process that information. Because we're still doing ABCs. We're still doing, depends on the level of development. We're still trying to represent what we're trying to do. And I think that there should be at least a 48-hour.
In my humble opinion.
Depends on
This is my humble opinion. Yeah. If you are engaging in learning to know another person, you know, the first and foremost prerequisite is that you got to go through all the basic criteria with this person. Like, is this person worthy of my time? Is this person, you know, of high virtue? Do we share the same value systems? You know, once you get through those loopholes, once you get through that gauntlet of whether or not this person is dope, is this person is okay, then think about whether or not you want to bring the kids into the play. I mean, it's the more mature thing, and it's actually the more responsible thing to do when you're thinking about kids, you know, and how kids get attached to the person that's going to be around. Because if you're a boyfriend or a lover or a significant other, then you can pretty much conceive that you're going to be around this person for a significant amount of time. Now, if you haven't done that discernment from the jump street as to whether or not you really are really intending to be around, or and vice versa for the woman, if this person is really going to be around, then, you know, you basically flinging your kids to the wind. I'm pretty sure that your kids' grades in school probably shot too, because you ain't really doing the knowledge on what they are intaking in terms of their social environment.
Now, let's see where we're going. Speak your comment, and then we're going to go to the next question.
Okay, I just wanted to go back to what he was saying about letting the kids meet you on the first day, because kids are honest. But kids are honest, true, but you got kids when they get to a certain age, kids are manipulative too.
Yes.
Because you got kids who still holding on to the hope that their mama or their daddy coming back, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got kids still holding on to the hope that their parents will get back together. So, anybody their mama bring home, I'm not going to like them.
Can I just, for a second?
Ma'am.
But do you want to take out mommy, or do you want to take out the chick that you met? Well, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get two different people. If you out on a date with mommy, you're not getting the real Jill.
And that's what I'm thinking, is that it's actually it's like a preventive method, right? To stop even mommy from getting too far into this situation. You know what I'm saying?
You
could say the kids are manipulative, but like I like what he said too. You absolutely right. But imagine if mommy is trying to dip and dodge, asking grandma and grandpa and cousin and uncle to babysit, and she ain't spending the time.
He's saying preventive method on the child, but also think about the mother. It's some women that have been done something wrong in here that when they meet a new guy, they automatically think a guy trying to get some, right? So what better preventative?
Sometimes 80% of the time that's very true.
That is very true.
What I'm saying is what better preventative method than to bring your child? Because what man gonna just be so disrespectful to come out and be trying to get it?
Oh, you surprised, bro.
The man confessed, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, if you bring the child, a man where he may have been coming off, real assertive or something like that, he might fall back if you got your little 6-year-old with you, your little 8-year-old with you.
Exactly.
No.
And if he doesn't, then obviously he's not showing you or your child any respect. So then you have to.
But if you're a real player, you're going to adapt. And
pimping. Okay, we are not endorsing any player.
You know what? A real player can also get played.
Next question.
Right, we're going to the next question.
Wow, the man confessed. If you just tuned in, you're listening to
the Vincent Ellis White Show, baby.
All right. So the next question, we have so many questions that we could ask, but the next question is around emotional cheating. So we're taking a little bit of a shift. As a man, and I'm sure if you're married, if you're not married, if you've been in a relationship before, you haven't been in a relationship before, A, do you believe in emotional cheating? B, what are the signs that your lady may be emotionally cheating on you? Do you believe, and we're going, I'm going to go right down the panel. We're going to start with Minister George at the end. Do you believe in emotional cheating? A, and then B, what could be some signs that your lady is having an emotional affair?
So we need you to speak up, brother. We ain't even hearing from you. We got to hear from you.
Okay, confession.
The minister in the building. Let's go.
Confession time. Confession time. I do believe in emotional cheating. I have been a party of emotional cheating.
Mm, wow.
And so the signs that your significant other may be cheating is that, you know, it's attention. It's in the finite things. You know, they're there for the big things, but you have to notice the little things.
Wow.
Are they talking to you at night, or are they talking? Do they bring their problems to you? Do they talk to you? You know, and one of the things I found out is that I spend more time talking to my best friend about this girl than I spend talking to my wife, you know, about what's been going on.
Wow. The man confessed. There you go. Thank you. And did you, so was there anything you learned? Was there anything that you think?
What I took away from it, what I learned is, the pitfall of how we fall into emotional affairs is that, and we're going to talk, I guess we're going to talk about that question later. I'm trying not to jump the gun on about fears.
Right.
Is that we have to overcome that, men have to overcome that fear of communication.
Yeah.
And we've addressed it in another show before, but men have to overcome that fear of opening themselves up. Mm-hmm. You know, there were situations that, you know, we had, and instead of me talking about them, I just backed down and I found this girl that would listen to my problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we would sit there and we would communicate, and it's like all of a sudden this conversation is easy with this girl.
Right.
Yet I got the situation going on back
home. Home, okay.
Wow, that's real life.
So just to reiterate the question, you say, is there such thing?
So A, do you believe in emotional cheating?
And then
B, what could be signs of emotional cheating?
Reezy, Deron?
When you have a covenant or, you know, a commitment to another person, you know, you made the decision between the two of you that, you know, the love that y'all share, you were supposed to come to each other with honesty, openness about whatever issue is plaguing you. Now, if you as a woman or you as a man are reaching out to a third party in order to open up, you know, your deep-seated emotions and feelings to another person, it's emotional cheating if the person that you are releasing this information to, you know, you might have a subtle interest in, or that person might have a subtle interest in you. Because I know, just like every other man, I talk to, you know, I have women friends.
Right.
You know, so in that sense, I'm not cheating with them.
Right.
If I'm talking to them about problems that I have in my household, I'm trying to get insight as to how maybe I can navigate some other perspectives.
So the sign of that is if you have an interest in them while
Or if they have an interest in you.
Or that transition.
Yeah,
it's
a subtle thing. It's like, you know, what are the boundaries in between you and this person that you're relaying all this information to?
Boundaries.
You know, now, if there are no boundaries, if it's kind of like, you know, ambiguous, then, you know, that other person or you may find yourself slipping into a deeper hole because, in my opinion, you know, love is a situation that you, you know, either by choice or by negligence, kind of fall into with somebody else. So,
I want to say, first of all, I love my wife very dearly.
Yes, big shout out to Ty. How you doing, Ty? I know her.
But
and,
one of the things she was saying is that, you know, I find it to be emotional cheating when you find yourself, when you think of all the people that you can talk to about what's going on in your life, and your wife is not at the top of that list. Or your significant other is not at the top of that list. When you sit there and you're thinking about what's going on, and you're like, well, I can't, in my case it was, well, I can't wait to get to work so I can tell so-and-so about what was going on, what happened. And when I'm home with my wife, I'm not there, I'm there, but I'm not there.
Okay.
Which is another sign of when your wife was there, and they pick up on it, and you pick up on it, that you're not there.
And but you all got over it.
Yes, we are.
What did
we
you
over,
do?
Well, after she found out, and we got over that.
He said, man, after I got off the couch.
And we got over that, you know. I just came clean about everything, about what I was feeling, what I was about.
That's
we just
real talk
came
right
clean
there.
About everything. And I mean, and as they say, the truth hurts, and it hurts for a while.
Yes.
But eventually, you know, we stuck it out, and we got through it.
Well, I'm giving you applause for
the confession.
Yeah, definitely, and being real talk, you know. And you were married to your high school sweetheart.
Yes.
Y'all been together
11 years.
Long time. So that's real talk.
Listen, y'all. Before we gonna continue on this in a minute, I'm gonna just go to a quick break.
Woo! It's getting hot in here.
Everybody, calm down. When we come back, we're gonna discuss furthermore with the emotional cheating and
yes.
the signs. We'll be right back. Vincent Ellis White Show.
Now is your time to get fit. Contact the professionals at ATF, Apex Physical Fitness. It's a service based on the belief that the customer's needs are of the utmost importance, offering the highest level of exercise and training, whether it's in-home training, outdoors, or the place of your choice. It's a guarantee that you will receive the results you seek. At Apex Physical Fitness, your time is more than just a gym visit. It's an experience. At Apex, we guide you to the body you want with assistance from educated, experienced, trained professionals. Schedule an appointment with personal trainer and boxing instructor Eric Smith today, 804-441-2000, or log on to the web, www.apexphysicalfitness.com. Apex Physical Fitness, your health should be your concern.
Thank you for joining the Vincent Ellis White Show. If you would like to get in touch with us or become a sponsor of the show, please contact.
Back on the air, this is the Vincent Ellis White Show with my co-host, Chavette Mitchell. For those who are just tuning in, this is the Men Confessor broadcasting live.
Oh, my goodness.
Shout for joy. Chavette, off the hook.
It's off the hook.
Off the hook. On the air and off the air.
The men are confessing. I'm telling you. But this is what women want to hear, and
right.
I think other men, too. So we appreciate the panel for being so open and authentic.
So the question that's on the floor before we jump into it, the question was on the floor before the break was, is there such thing as emotional cheating, and if so, what are the signs?
What are the signs?
If your wife or your significant other has a very silent demeanor, like you ask them what's wrong and they say nothing and there's obviously something wrong, they talking about it to somebody. And in my experience, you know, I've had situations where at the death of a relationship or toward the close of a relationship, you know, it's obvious signs that this person is translating what's going on between you and them to another party. So, you know, minus, you know, the Facebook and the texting and all that type of stuff.
Facebook.
Well, you might find all that out at a later date or while you're going through
I'm
it.
I'm so glad you bought a Facebook.
You might want to just be very cognizant as to, you know, what is this person's disposition when you're around? You know, are they going through things? Are they stressed out? And if they are stressed out, are they communicating with you as to what are the core issues that's related to their stress? If their stress is you, then it's very highly possible that they are emotionally engaged in another person to relieve their stress.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that is, it is a such thing as an emotional cheating, but it's just cheating, period, you know, overall. It's not, you know, you're stepping outside of your relationship to fulfill a need, whether that need be sexual, whether that need be emotional, you know, whether that need be social, you know, I mean, there's different levels, but this all at the bottom of it is cheating because you're not being, you're not honoring the covenant that you set up between you and this other person. And it's better to just go ahead and end it from the jump street instead of, like, letting it linger and playing yourself and playing the other person, too, man. Betrayal is one of the worst things that you can do to somebody.
So you put them all in one bucket. There's not, like, one. The physical cheating is not more than or worse than emotional cheating.
It's no worse. You can't say it's worse because, I mean, betrayal is betrayal.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, like, if you kissed a dude or you told him, you know, about the problems that we were having in the bedroom, it's basically the same thing, you know.
Wow.
So I don't see that as a difference.
Jello, for me,
my disclosure. I think that people need closure from every situation that they come through. And I think that if you're married to a person or if you're with a person, what plays you? You know, like she did all these things or you did all these things. There's nothing that play you. You have to think of, as a person, do you have closure from your emotional baggage that you have to identify with, or at least not project? You can't project, this person did this to me. You know, there's a certain amount of madness is doing the same thing over and over again,
and
expecting
different
results.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a way of using your own bodily intelligence to maximize your situation. But you have to maximize situation besides your ego, because your ego has nothing to do with nothing. A child is born, whether or never. It's your ego that tells you you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. But it definitely is the procedure that people go through. And
you know,
you
when you're saying something that just triggered, both of you said something that triggered something. So he mentioned Facebook lightly, and you mentioned closure. I think Facebook, and I know Sweets has a comment, I think Facebook has contributed to emotional cheating because it has allowed, I think, people from people's past
to
still have access to them.
Right.
So there's no closure.
There's plenty of closure, because if they call you back or they text you back and you're like, oh, I remember that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you can actually
be like, nah,
man.
But
you know,
I think it
has.
But it
opens
I don't
it
think
up,
men
might
do
closure,
more than
closure,
they do.
Closure,
yeah, they
closure is closure.
They chatting and they inboxing.
But it wasn't no closure if you allow it to be opened back up.
Exactly.
Right.
You
know,
you
but
had him as
there
a
has
friend.
To be closure with you. That would be closure with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. But what you're saying is that there's other outlets now that block you from getting that closure.
But that's your ego, because it's on blast and nobody talked to you personally about it. And so that it now is open to other people's opinion. But regardless, it's still your closure, no matter who you know.
Because you can say yes or no.
We agree.
Yeah,
we agree. It should be closure, but I think Facebook has exacerbated some situations.
But, it's like
picking
at a
scam. Yeah, because
the
access is so, and it's not the open stuff that's getting people. It's not the posting on the comment.
It's
the inbox. It's
the
inbox.
It's so
flawless.
No, it's the inbox. It's the chat. It's the, that has.
But my,
Sweet, what you got to say?
I mean, my thing is with the whole emotional cheating is, if you with somebody who don't respect nothing you say, mm-hmm. you say, or respect none of your thoughts,
or you feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not that you feel. It's like if you come home and you be like, yeah, baby, blah blah blah, and they just be like, oh, all right, whatever, my soul's on. Or you know what I'm saying? Or you come home to your man, and your man be like, oh, all right, the game on.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna have to get that from somewhere
else.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? Then people get mad. They get mad. Why you can't talk to me? But if I talk to you and every time I talk to you, you don't respect what I got to say.
Okay.
That sounds stupid. I don't even want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? If you shoot me down and disrespect everything I say, how you gonna get mad if I go somewhere and get it for what somebody else respect what I got to say?
All
right. And that's what it is. You gotta treat your man right. You gotta treat the person you with right, or somebody else gonna do it.
But what about the woman who treats the man right, and he still has an emotional or physical or social affair?
I think, just to touch on emotional. I think there is something called emotional cheating. I mean, now I'm thinking about it, and you know what I mean. I think it's more complex than just I didn't reach out to my wife, my girlfriend.
No,
I reached out to another
it's
person.
It's so complex
because we got other ways of reaching out to somebody. Like I got a best friend that I go to for most things.
Exactly.
But then I can talk to a stranger and they just give off something that make me want to talk to them about something.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go to the best friend or the girlfriend. Did I cheat? No. I just found somebody that had a different aura about them. Now, like I think Deron said in the beginning, when you find yourself being, you know, you feel like you're attached to this person some way, or maybe they become more attractive. They might have been halfway attracted to you, but once you didn't talk to them and you didn't get some of their insight, they might start becoming more attracted to you after a while, because now the piece that you're lacking at home, you might can get from them, is making them more attractive. And you don't even realize until you start getting tied into them. You know what I mean? I think that's very well true. What you had to say?
I was somewhere along the line, the same thing exactly what you're saying, but more it's when the emotions toward the one that you're supposed to be with, there's like he said, that covenant between, you know, your wife, and that emotion that are supposed to be, you're supposed to share everything. You know, you're supposed to talk your go-to person. And when you find that that has been shifted towards another person, and you know, yes, I'll talk to my wife about everyday things, but I'll take these things to this person over here. I can't wait to talk to the person about these things, but yeah, I'll do business at home. I took care of business at home. Right. I'll make sure that food's on the table. I'm bringing home the bacon. But when I want that closeness that you're supposed to have with your wife, that significant other, you find yourself getting that from someone else. That's when your emotions have been shifted from your wife to this person, and that's where, like you said, you get that attachment. You find yourself drawn more and more, and you create that tie.
Okay. I think that's a good point that it's it can be like specific to a certain area in the man's life.
But I feel like one of the misconceptions that with marriage and relationships that people seem to like hang on to and overstress is you pull to share everything with the person you with. Some stuff you just ain't gonna be able to talk to each other about. Like, if you ain't gonna meet nobody in this world that you can talk to everything about. You can go to them and talk to them about every and everything.
That's true.
That is not
possible. So you gonna have a friend. You gonna have stuff that you can talk to your best friend about that you ain't gonna be able to talk to your wife about.
So you gotta.
And it ain't that ain't cheating.
I think somebody mentioned boundary. You can have that person to talk to, but you need to be that boundary. Boundaries. So I think
if you don't set boundaries up, you know, then you basically you're disrespecting the commitment, you're disrespecting the covenant that you set up, the honor. How are you acting in an honorable way unto the person that you've made this promise to? You know, if you are, you know, basically saying, hey, you ain't feeling my needs, I'm gonna go jump ship. And that's so characteristic of our generation. You know, we're so microwavable in our desires and microwavable in terms of our expectations. Right. We look for somebody to just fit everything 3 minutes into the game, but that really doesn't happen.
No, but I'm saying my thing is if I come to you and tell you I'm not happy about such, and that's the same thing in females. Females always complain because they come to dudes and they be like, I'm not happy about the way you do blah, blah, blah. Right. But if you still continue to do that, you can't blame her if she go somewhere else.
But put it this way, if you find yourself having to hide text messages, communications, your wife doesn't even know that you're talking to this other person.
Wow, that's real
your
talk.
Friend don't know, well, yeah, don't know who you're talking to this other person. Point blank, you're cheating because you feel some part of you feels guilty enough that you can't let her know that you're talking to such and such and that you can't invite them in the relationship.
Yeah.
That's
listen. So emotional cheating, we got it. It is a such thing from this is our opinion.
Yeah.
That means fact this is each different person is in their opinion. It is a such thing, but there are various signs. The main thing it sounds like I'm catching is that you can talk to somebody else about certain things. Even if you don't want to talk to your spouse about, but it needs to be boundaries, you need to respect them.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to the next question.
Fear.
So, you know, a lot of men want to act hardened out here and we taught from ground up. That's why I said in my book, Chavette, Fully Seasoned Man's Relationship Recipe. I'm talking about chapter 1, when the craving begins, when men are brought up differently. We're brought up to be emotionless.
Yes.
Hard. Among other things, we're brought up to be emotionless and hard, etc. So, if I'm talking about that, just about male's upbringing in the beginning in my book, let's bring it to now.
Yeah.
I just want to ask the men individually, what is your greatest fear in regards to a relationship? It can be one thing, it can be numerous things. If you're in a relationship now or a marriage, you can think back to when you were about to embark on that relationship. What was the one thing that may have made you slow up for a minute, may scare you to death about a relationship? If you're a person that's you can't stand monogamy, and you're in here, what is the thing that makes you fearful of monogamy? Or, I'm sorry, I'm thinking I'm going too far. What is your greatest fear?
Is that a Freudian slip? That was a Freudian slip. I understand
that.
Let's start it
off, man.
I think, I know for me personally, and this is something I just recently realized, if a person starts spending too much time in my personal space, like in my house, I'm like, I don't care how much I like you or how much I'm feeling you. Once you start coming in the house and you start trying to change the way why you all got your cups in here and why you don't keep your soap here? I'm like, cause this is my house. Let me run my house the way I run my house. You know, I can't, I don't like giving up my personal.
That's what you don't like.
No.
What's the fear?
I'm saying it's like.
So you scared? That sounds like you scared of commitment because you don't want that person to be.
It ain't about.
Which is commitment.
It's not really commitment.
Well,
it's
control, but commit. You have to let go.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's like I'm fear of people taking over. I don't want to lose, it ain't necessarily control, but it's necessarily losing myself, because you know sometimes you get in a relationship and people come in and they try to take over everything, and then you lose yourself because you're trying to please them.
Let go of that Janet Jackson.
I will say this, that it will take more than one person to take control of your life.
What's your fear in regards to a relationship?
This is Jello Kareem. It's my
disclaimer.
Man with the cup. Let's go.
Actually, the cup is man with the mint. I'm afraid of people getting the wrong idea.
About you?
About in a relationship?
About a relationship. Oh. Not about me, but about relationship in its whole entirety.
Okay.
So if I don't talk to you for 6 months, for its own reason.
Mm. But we still supposed to be in a relationship?
Yeah, we are. 6 months later.
I see you said 6 days, bro. That give you a week.
If we in a relationship?
That I give you a week.
How you feel?
So you're afraid, you don't want any constraints, you don't want the relationship to have any kind of definitions, you don't want it to have any kind of parameters.
I'm
scared of labels.
No.
Because I think I got a real life example of that.
I have two words about how you are. That's what it sounds like.
No, I want to hear this. So you can just not call her. You can drop off the face of the earth for 6 months.
Yes.
He's scared
of the calendar over there.
It's supposed to be okay. That's 6 months, but I've seen somebody drop off like for 2 weeks and then come back like nothing.
Okay, what's up, babe?
What's
going on? Let's go
to
November.
He's going to November.
I thought you were dating.
He's about to be going to November.
I mean, I want to hear. Y'all let him. So.
Jalea.
Please talk about that.
Disclaimer.
Say his name clearly.
You know what? 6 months.
Say his name clearly.
Wow.
Hey, that was not
first of all.
Yes.
First of all, because I make friends for more than 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know, we make friends when we meet, but I make friends for a lifetime.
Okay.
From birth.
Okay.
So I don't know how to make friends. You know, right away, hey, I need a ride here. And, I have friends that I've had for 30 years.
Okay.
I'm 38.
Okay.
I've had friends from 30 years.
Okay.
From thick and thin. Mm-hmm. So, it's really, that's my rate of going at.
You look at long term.
Yeah.
That's what every man should look at long term.
But you can cut off communication for 6 months.
If I already knew you. If I already knew you for 5 years, 6 months ain't nothing.
But if you're in a relationship,
we're trying to narrow it down to you entering into a different relationship.
Like, you a dip off from your girlfriend for 6 months.
Oh, hell yeah. All day long. I'm sorry to say hell yeah. But all day long, because it really, you know what?
And somebody, she'll be there when you come back?
I'll still be there. It's not about her being there.
You're in a relationship, number one. This is you relationship with yourself.
What? I think that
first of all,
she'll be around.
I think that you
said what? All right.
But he has a point in the sense, because men will do that drop-off thing. For like 2 weeks, 30 days, they'll do that drop-off day.
It's two different things. It's the difference between having a girlfriend and having a wife.
Okay.
And that's my disclaimer.
Deron Chavis.
Deron Chavis.
Brother Manifest.
You know, in terms of fears. Mr. Kareem. Mr. Kareem. All right, well, this is my greatest fear is betrayal. And I'll be...
Okay.
You know,
that's
my,
one of mine, too. My
greatest fear is betrayal. You know, I think that I was talking about this today that I don't know about all men. I just know about me. And I know that
when I love sincerely and I love hard, and I go in based off of, you know, I'm giving you all of me off the strength, what I'm about. I ain't trying to put on no airs. I ain't trying to, you know, I'm going to pretty up my feet. You know, I ain't going to wear certain outfits every day just so you can be impressed or whatever. So when it comes down to loyalty, when it comes down to trust, those are very important aspects of my of my parameters, my value system. So when somebody comes into the situation and they decide to betray that trust, or go into a zone where they totally switch from who they presented themselves to be from the inception of the relationship into this whole another situation, I mean, it's not only devastating, you know, for me because of all that I invested in the relationship, but it also affects, you know, other aspects. Because, I mean, I don't know about brothers. I know about me. I know that when I go through a heartbreak, it affects so many aspects of my life, you know.
But you can speak for men, too. I mean, you
right.
can narrow it down. But, I mean, all men can speak for men
yeah.
in some aspects.
Yeah. I think that when brothers go through heartbreak, it affects so many aspects of their life. You know what I'm saying? It's like from work to family to just your overall wellness. So, you know, one of the worst forms of things that you can do is just that abrupt snatch by being betrayed, by somebody taking your trust for granted and totally switching the mode. And, you know, I think that for me personally, that's why I pray for, you know, God to bless me with greater ability to discern, you know, so that my eyes will be open from inception of the relationship all the way through, and that the person that I'm with is not so deceptive.
So does that have to do with the type of woman you selected, or could that betrayal come from any and all kinds of
women? It's come from the one that you would not expect,
wow.
the closest one. So in that sense, you know, maybe my gift of discernment, maybe my discernment wasn't on point. Maybe there's some things I overlooked. So, but I do say that, you know, there are some situations where, you know, I mean, look what happened to Martin. You know, Martin Luther King, he was betrayed by somebody close to him. Somebody was like, yo, he in the Lorraine Motel, and come on out on the balcony. You know what I'm saying? So,
look
what
happened
to Jesus. Look at Judas and Jesus. I mean, these are, you know, people get betrayed, and it's not just, you know, in an intimate relationship. So, you know, I think the worst type of hurt is when somebody is closest to you and they betray your trust. So I mean, that's my greatest fear, because you, when you love somebody and it's like, hey, you my brother, like Vincent, you know, you my brother, you know, I love you, you know, thick and thin, you know, whatever, you know.
Okay.
If Vincent came out and was like, man, fuck manifest, I'll be devastated. You know what I'm saying? Because that's my homie.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
I love this
right.
brother, man. I didn't confide
right.
in him and all
right.
this type of stuff. You know, so it's like, you know, betrayal for me is just like,
yeah.
it's the penultimate of things
wow.
that you can do that would just, you know, send me off on the deep end.
So, Mr. Fat Sweets is next. I just want to let y'all know, the question is, what is your fear, your number one fear for a relationship? And we got betrayal is a big thing on the table right
yeah.
now. Sweets, and I'm going to go next.
But one thing that, what Duane said and what the other brother said, if you realize, like, most dudes do keep the same friends forever. They don't, and I think that shows that men don't do change easily, because they,
good point.
You know what I'm saying, men don't make new friends. They keep the same friends. Like, there's people I know that was hanging together in high school. You see them out in the street now, they still together with the same person they hung out in high school. And
I wonder what they would say if you ask them how many lady friends they knew
yeah,
during that span of time as well.
And that's what I'm saying, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, dudes don't even make new dude friends. So how you think they're going to really do when they try to make a new female friend, you know?
So let me say this. So it sounds like not only is the greatest fear for men, ladies that's listening, the greatest fear for men is betrayal. It sounds like change.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So people in general, but we're speaking about men. You know, a lot of men like things the same way that they were. A lot of men dress the same forever. They do a lot of things the same way. So change is a big
yeah.
fear for men, as well as betrayal. And with me, I remember, if I was entering a relationship, a lot of times I didn't approach a relationship as it's going to be my wife. I saw enough quality. This is my in my immature mind state. I saw enough quality to enter in a relationship with her, but I wasn't looking down the long haul. I saw enough to single her out and
yeah.
be in a relationship. But here's my thing. This is why I entered a relationship. So my fear was that when I got in this relationship, I would get either A, in too deep in this relationship where it's hard to pull out, or a lot of men think, this one I'm about to say right here, is that when they get into a relationship, they miss out on so many other potential ladies that they could be with or get with. A lot of men think this way. This is to talk about fear. A lot of men are afraid to jump the broom, as they say, and get married because they may be with this girl, but they know that if I want to leave, I can go. But once I do the paperwork and I, you know, go before a pass and everything, now I'm about to lose out on all these women.
So does that translate to fear of commitment?
Fear of commitment.
I think,
fear of change.
I think all that goes together.
Our generation look at marriage as a new level of boyfriend. Yeah. So,
but I think
they're quick fast jump down to that court of peer, be like, look, you want to go ahead and get this divorce done.
The one fear that I don't hear a lot is. Reason why a lot of men don't enter into relationships is failure.
I know a guy that was really the fear, which is one of my wife for
11 years.
Right now.
My girl. We've been married for 5 years. I've been with her for 11 years, but lingering in the back, there's still that fear because my mom and dad didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even know my dad. I met my dad at a funeral. So, I mean, he was in the casket, and I'm like,
wow.
Okay, that's my dad. And so I fear, not that I'm not going to be out of my children's life, but I still have that fear that we won't make it because it was never an example in my life.
Yeah. I know a guy who, in the age bracket that I'm in, who I'm dating, the people, types of people that I would date are a lot of times divorced. You know, been married before, and I know one of my friends, he was like, I'm so scared because I don't want to mess, I don't want to fail on the next one. I don't want to fail because I messed up the first time, or whatever messed up the first time. And he definitely is right on that vein, like he does not want to fail at marriage again. So
Charvette, the men have confessed, we're talking about
for a whole hour long.
The ladies are getting the insight. They've been off the chain in here. We talk about men's fears, commitment, betrayal,
emotional cheating,
failure.
Facebook.
How Facebook can enhance emotional cheating.
And then we started the top of the hour out talking about the little kids.
Talking about the kids, man. Look, men confess.
Yes.
The Vincent Ellis White Show featuring my beautiful co-host. Charvette Mitchell.
Hi, do. I am so glad for all the listeners that tuned in from all across the World Wide Web, listen from Twitter and from Facebook, and those that are listening from iTunes and iPads and iPods and Zoom and all that. We're so glad to have you. Check me out on Charvette.com and follow me on Twitter. What you doing? Twitter.com/Charvette. Holla at your girl.
She yells at y'all. Follow your boy, Vince Ellis White, on Twitter at LifeLoveRVA. The Facebook is the Vince Ellis White Show. People that got anything going on, Deron, you go ahead and go first. You got a big event coming on next week, right, bro?
Man, I want everybody within listening earshot to be in Richmond, Virginia or Atlanta, Georgia the weekend of August 26th through the 28th for the 9th annual Happily Natural Day and 32nd annual commemoration of Black August. It is a marvelous, marvelous situation. We're in two cities. One festival, one weekend. We're celebrating political prisoners, brothers and sisters who dedicated their lives to enhancement of our lives, who didn't know us, who are still behind prison walls, holistic health, cultural empowerment, social change. It's a magnificent weekend. I think everybody needs to log on to happilynaturalday.com right now and figure out how you're going to get down to either Richmond, Virginia, or Atlanta, Georgia.
You know the address off the top of the head?
3601 Dill Road, Trinity Life Family Center in Richmond, Virginia, and the Omanala Slave Museum in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know the address off the top of the head.
Okay, but they can go to the website?
happilynaturalday.com, or they can follow me at Brother Manifest on Twitter, and they can get the information from me there.
Minister George Dale, you got special news, bro.
For those of you who find yourself doing nothing on tomorrow, which is Friday night around 7, stop by New Jerusalem International Christian Ministries with a very fine pastor. It is Bishop Joel Vincent Brown. There I will be bringing forth the message through the Word of God in my first initial sermon service.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Anybody else got anything before we go? All right, so, and before I go, I just want to thank everybody that came out to the book signing over this weekend. That was in Newport News, Mulberry Inn. and the library in Newport News downtown. I want to thank Hope Askew if you're listening.
Yes,
she came through.
Her.
That's right, man. I'm loving her CD Breakthrough. She came through, blessed us with three songs. She sung in the book signing. She also verbally agreed, so I'm putting you on blast. She verbally agreed to be in my upcoming play for Finding Chris, My Father. The book is coming out in December, which my man, Brother Manifest, wrote the foreword.
Awesome.
And so, in favor for a favor, he said, that's my boy. He wrote the foreword for my book, and I'm going to be in Happily Natural Day, you know, doing a panel on fatherhood.
Yes, indeed.
So it's a beautiful thing.
Yes,
when you indeed. When you're friends, you can do one thing for another and vice versa.
Yes, sir.
All right, so the men have confessed. Our time is up. Next week, I'm going to bring y'all the Women Confess. In regards to those that follow the Men Confess, keep following my show, the Vincent Ellis White Show, every Thursday. A new time is coming up in September. I'm going to officially announce that it's going to be from 7 to 8, starting on September the 8th. And like I said, the Men Confess is still going to be every third Thursday. It's going to be for an hour from now on. So y'all has been saying we got to expand it. Y'all see what y'all got today.
There you go.
You see what y'all in for.
Yeah.
All right, so anybody got anything else before we go?
I just wanted to say, man, big up to you, Brother Vincent, for everything that you're bringing forth through this ministry, you know, giving people an opportunity to enhance their relationships by hearing perspectives from a wide variety of sources.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's an amazing work. I think that people are really growing, and they have to kind of step outside of the box. A lot of people don't have friends. So when they don't have friends, they don't got this type of diversity of opinion.
Yeah.
So you're doing a good work, brother. I'm proud
it.
Of you, man.
And I just want to say to everybody that's listening, you know, we laugh and we joke, but the whole purpose of this is for somebody to get something that's going to change your situation. So
you,
we hope that you'll take what we're saying and look past the joking and the laughter, because there's some people that's in serious situations that need to be changed.
Yeah, Men Confess shows back, Chavette had mentioned an email that she got a while back where somebody had really had a life-changing experience from tapping into our show, and somebody had sent them the link. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And she actually followed up with another email after she heard us discuss her comment and, again, was so appreciative to the panel and was like, you all have a listener for life.
There it is. So one listener at a time, we can change the world. Men Confess, the Vincent Ellis White Show. Also, go to my website, lifeloveligion.com. Post your feedback. And we're going to see y'all next Thursday at 8:30 for the Women Confess. All right. God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining the Vincent Ellis White Show. If you would like to get in touch with us or become a sponsor of the show, please contact us at 804-852-0449. Write in your show ideas to LLRpublishing@yahoo.com or log on to www.lifeloveligion.com.